Good morning, good evening, good coding campers. It's Monday, and that means it's time for MSDN Radio, the show that helps developers find what they're looking for. Good code, good conversation, but most of all, good times. So here to bring us into the week is our host, Mike Benkovich.
Anyway, welcome to MSDN Radio. My name is Mike Benkovich, and we are going to have some fun today talking with Beth Massey. This is a radio show where we talk to developers about what you want to know. We bring in people who hopefully you've got questions for. And the fun part about today is that Beth is here from the BizApps team.
Yep.
And is going to talk to us about what?
Light Switch, Visual Studio Light Switch, new product that we just had announced beta for about a month ago.
So we're going to talk about the Light Switch stuff. We're going to talk about anything that people want to bring up and ask questions, because you can dial in, you can talk to us, you can ask your questions, because we've got some phone lines with operators standing by. If you do dial in and you want to participate, just press the star 8, and that lets us know that you're ready to ask your question, and then we'll queue you up and put you right into the show, and then you can do some chatting and have some fun with us. MSDN Radio, we've got previous shows are all posted up to Channel 9, so you can go out and watch them by going out and just searching on the keyword MSDN Radio. And this is our 20th show, so we've been around for a little while and having some fun. Today is Monday, the 11th of October, and a lot of exciting stuff going on around the phone. Out in New York City, they announced the launch, the types of devices that will be available, who the carriers are. All of that, so you can go out to windowsphone.com and be able to watch that and see what's what. So, anyway, let's dive into today's show. Beth, how are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having me.
So I heard you had a code camp or something this weekend.
Yes, Silicon Valley Code Camp, the biggest code camp, I think, in the United States. And we had, let's see, over 3,000 people registered for it. We basically take over the entire college at Foothill College in Los Altos Hills. And, we had probably close to 2,000 people actually show up for it, so it was a lot of fun.
Okay. So you had the whole college. How many tracks did they have going on? How many presenters and stuff?
I don't even remember. I think we had like 195 sessions.
Wow.
It was a lot. Across a lot of different technologies. It's not just Microsoft and .NET. We live in the Silicon Valley here, so there's a lot of stuff like Java. Oracle was, I think, a sponsor, and Apple, and, Google. So it was a lot of different stuff to listen to. Actually, there was even some military folks on campus talking about computer forensics, which was also pretty interesting. I didn't make it to their session, but I saw them walking around, and it was like, whoa, what are these guys doing?
The full fatigues, the whole bit.
Yeah, I was protected no matter what.
It's like, watch out. We're going to be coming for you, you know?
Yeah, I did three sessions. I did two on Light Switch, one an intro, and one more of a beyond an intro, a little bit mm-hmm. more about how to customize it. And then I did one on another one of my favorite topics on OData.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I think they went pretty well. So I had a good time.
Well, I was at the Twin Cities Code Camp, and we had 500 people registered, and, about 300 showed up, I guess, between the 2 days. But I did a session on OData as well.
Yeah, so. it's great stuff.
I mean, when you talk about OData, I mean, how do you introduce it and show people? I mean, what is the cool thing about OData?
Well, I mean, I think the coolest thing is that it's just the probably one of the easiest ways to just get a CRUD style, communication into your database. It's basically take your database, wrap a service around it, and boom, it's on the internet or your intranet.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've like broken down because a lot of times you have all these data silos around the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, information workers just want to get into the database, but, of course, IT is not going to give them a password into the database, right?
Right.
So instead, you can expose these set of services instead, that are super easy, right? You just, click in a template and boom, expose your service.
Mm-hmm.
And, and now you have, now you can consume these. I actually show how to consume OData feeds in Excel through Power Pivot.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That would be a good demo to show.
Yeah, yeah. And then, SharePoint exposes all of its data through an OData service as well. So,
mm-hmm.
I show how to work with SharePoint as well. And it's not just read-only. It's, it's CRUD, right?
The full CRUD, because you can use the get, put, post, and delete. Of
exactly.
ACP, right?
Those verbs map perfectly to the database, commands, right? Insert, select, those sorts of things. So I think that that's probably – and it's so easy to work with, really. And actually, LightSwitch will also – like, LightSwitch works with RIA services, right, so WCF RIA services.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take and wrap a RIA service right around your OData service, and then you can expose it that way. And as a matter of fact, LightSwitch, you know, automatically works with SharePoint OData services already, so you don't have to do anything. It's just built in the box right now.
The IJW. It just works.
It just works, yeah. So yeah, that's what's cool about being on the BizApps team. We do, you know, not only are we Visual Studio LightSwitch, but we also do all the tools inside of Visual Studio to work with Office and SharePoint.
Mm-hmm.
So VSTO, if you guys are familiar with that, Visual
Tools
Studio
for
Tools for Office, yep. All of that, we did a lot of work, you know, to support 64-bit Office, actually, in 2010. So those scenarios are all lit up now. And SharePoint, right? SharePoint tooling in Visual Studio is just, you know, awesome, right? You can now actually right in the box, you know, have a lot of SharePoint tools just built in.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, you know, we have a little bit of an advantage, I guess, to be able to easily work with those SharePoint data sources as well.
So when you talk about having the RIA services and then wrapping an OData around it, or is it you start with an OData service and then add RIA?
Yeah, I mean, I have a
main service, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends if your service already exists or not, mm-hmm. or say the Netflix, for instance, has like a public OData service, right? You can assume. So you'd have to wrap your own RIA service. You'd have to basically, though, when you create a custom RIA service,
mm-hmm.
LightSwitch will host that for you too. So it's like one deployment step in its middle tier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you don't have to like deploy it separately. You know, you can create a RIA service and like suck it into LightSwitch, and LightSwitch middle tier will host it for you when you deploy the whole thing. So it's not like, you know, it's not like separate steps. I mean, they could do it, but you know, we try to make it really easy. I mean, that's kind of getting to like the edge of what LightSwitch, you know, can do, customizing it that way. You can also customize it with your own controls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of stuff. But just in, we don't, I mean, we want to, it has a lot of extensibility, absolutely, because, you know, it's a version one product. You're never going to think of everything or have time to put everything in it.
Right.
Right. And so we wanted to make sure that it was very extensible.
Right.
So not just on the data source side, but, you know, it's using all of, you know, we didn't invent a new technology. I want to make it clear that we did not invent another data access technology. We did not invent another UI technology. Okay.
Why would you even need to say that, right?
LightSwitch is a development environment and a framework, a runtime framework, okay? And it really is just, you know, like you're probably already building your own runtime frameworks right now to work with Entity Framework and RIA Services and Silverlight, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's like the key. We didn't want to invent anything else to deal with. So you're probably dealing with these things right now, and LightSwitch is just, you know, creating a framework around that so that you don't have to know the ins and outs of Entity Framework. But if you have an Entity Framework provider for Oracle, then boom, you can use Oracle as an external data source to LightSwitch, no problem.
So it's the IJW approach where we're taking the existing technologies and just providing an abstraction layer or a wrapper for...
It's like a model-driven architecture. So what you're doing is you're describing your entities or your external data sources, you know, because LightSwitch is all about building custom business applications. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're working with data, rows of data, right, lots of data, and you know, data entry forms. That's what you're basically building, okay? And so it's going to make everything, you know, as simple as possible to create data entry forms, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it does. So, and it's basically you get a whole entire application shell right out of the box. Like the first thing you do is describe an entity or a table.
Mm-hmm.
You create a screen and a query. And hit a five, and you have an application shell that knows how to do dirty checking, that has, you know, concurrency, you know, resolve concurrency issues, all sorts of stuff, like, already built in. It has declarative validation already. You know, you don't have to write any code necessarily just to get a screen to run, right?
Wow.
All right, so like you only write code around, like, basically the idea is, like, the only code you write is the only code you could write.
Uh-huh.
Okay, meaning that you write code around your business logic and your business rules, right? We can't write that for you, right?
Simplify it, make it work.
Right. And so it really is the easiest way to build business applications for not just for the desktop. You can deploy to SQL, Azure, and Azure, too, for the cloud as well. So, yeah, it's. I think I've been waiting around for this type of framework from Microsoft for a pretty long time, honestly. I come from a database background, information systems, right? You know, back in like the early 90s, I was using Clipper and DBase and FoxPro and, you know,
FileMaker and all of those.
Yeah, and so, you know, and then, you know, I moved to the .NET world, you know, in the turn of the century, like everybody else, hopefully, right, on this call. And maybe you guys are still dealing with some old legacy stuff, but, you know, I really embraced .NET because I was doing a lot of middle tier, you know, stuff, right, in VB6 and in FoxPro, and there's a lot of limitations around that. So I moved because of the scalability that, you know, .NET provided.
Right.
But it started to just get very complex.
Mm-hmm.
I think the .NET framework itself is fairly complex. I mean, you know, because I grew up with it, I think it's easier for me to just kind of look at new pieces. But honestly, I mean, you know, you can't be an expert in everything at all. You can't, you know. I used to be – I thought I was an expert in Clipper or FoxPro back then, but there's no way I could say I'm an expert in everything .NET because there's just so much.
Well, the trouble with Microsoft is that we do have so many different things that are out there. How do you be – you know, how do you keep up with all that?
Right. And you tend to specialize based on, you know, what your business is, what application type you're building. Like, you are an ASP.NET developer, you know everything about ASP.NET, but you might not know everything about WPF.
Right.
Right? You know, so, you tend to specialize.
How much is enough to know about WPF to be able to use it, right?
Right.
And that keeps that bar we keep lowering and making it easier to get into the
game. Well, and that's why I like being on the tools team in Visual Studio because that's exactly what our job is. We take this vast .NET framework and we try and make it easy for you to build upon it, right? And I mean, I am not the type of person that uses Notepad to program against, you know, .NET framework. I never have. I'm not Don Box.
Right.
So, you know, I definitely am using Visual Studio, and that's why I like being on the tools team. And with Lightswitch, we definitely created, you know, not only a development environment but a runtime environment too. So you basically are deploying a framework and just writing code on top of that framework to write business rules and just the logic of your app. And so that's why I think it's going to be really much easier for at least people who are brand new to .NET who need to build, like, simple small, medium business applications to start with Lightswitch.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a question in the queue, and if people have questions, you know, just press a star 8. But this is Peter in Prague, and he's actually not able to dial in. So he said, you know, first of all, he says thanks for the Lightswitch, but he's got a question about how you can do versioning. You know, where you've got some time stamping on primary keys, et cetera. So, you know, how do you go out and take care of that?
Versioning on the records themselves?
It sounds like, yeah. So, like, the primary keys, would, you know, how do you handle the dirty updates or the, you know, the optimistic concurrency, that sort of thing?
So, Lightswitch does handle optimistic concurrency for you. It's a disconnected model like you would expect, right? It's actually a Silverlight client. Okay, so it's all asynchronous, too. You actually have two threads going on at the same time, too. You have your UI thread, and then you have your data, I guess your data workspace thread, really. And so it's handling that stuff for you. So you don't have to worry about creating, you know, you create the key. Okay, so when you create a new table, you create the key. And if you're using an existing data source, it's going to read whatever that is, right? And you create the key, and then you don't really, you know, you don't have to do any of that yourself. I mean, you know, Lightswitch is taking care of it for you, if that makes sense. I mean, you don't have to worry about it. Like, if you were working with data sets, you'd have to worry about it, right?
Right.
Okay, so you're going to have to worry about, like, what happens, you know, when, you know, I get a concurrency error. You know, I try an update and someone already updated and EDO.NET returns you an error, right? And then you have to handle it. Now, Lightswitch, by default, handles this for you. If you have a concurrency issue, someone else wrote to the database, and then you go and write to it, and your original values are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
It'll throw a concurrency error, and you can handle that if you want. But by default, it gives you a nice UI that says, "Hey, these are the values that are in the database. These are the ones that you know had originally. Which ones do you want to save?" It creates a nice little, you know, dialogue for you that basically deals with it. So it's just like dirty checking, just like when you make a change to a screen and like try and close the application.
Right.
It will say, "Are you sure you want to close? You have unsafe changes." You don't write any of that code. Lightswitch provides all of that for you out of the box.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So it just literally is a way to get up and get going right away.
Right. Exactly.
So what else is fun? What else is going on in the tools team that, people should be paying attention to?
Well, I mean, we are now planning for the next version of Visual Studio. So right now, you know, it's like all about, you know, our tools in Visual Studio 2010. So I'm actually going to be speaking. I'm heading out to Europe. I'm actually going to be speaking in Bulgaria and in Holland, in Zeist, actually, at SDC. I'm going to be talking about one of the talks I'm doing is building, you know, productivity applications on top of Office and SharePoint. Mm-hmm. So showing the integration, you know, between the two, using SharePoint as, you know, part of, you know, the whole solution, you know. And you know, because SharePoint is just so hot, man. Users love SharePoint.
Oh, yeah.
And people want, you know, people need to customize it. And I think, you know, I've learned SharePoint 2010 through Visual Studio. I mean, I was not a SharePoint developer.
Right.
You know? And so, I mean, I was like, and I can get around ASP.NET. If you're an ASP.NET developer, I think it's probably a little more familiar because, you know, you're kind of working with, you know, more of like the web, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to make the development experience similar.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's so much easier when you have a tool to help guide you through, you know, building on top of a new platform because, you know, SharePoint itself is an entire framework that
right.
you know, you should learn, right?
So when you look at SharePoint, I mean, there's the talk about how it integrates with data, but there's also the piece of Silverlight. Since Lightswitch is
right.
building Silverlight components, is that what you're kind of building and deploying then to the SharePoint environment?
Well, okay, so Lightswitch does not have to use SharePoint as a data source, but it can use it as a data source. So what you're really doing is you're creating a Silverlight client that's separate
right.
from SharePoint,
that's
but using
data.
Its data if you want, right? So you
right.
can suck in its list. Data, that sort
mm-hmm.
of stuff, right? Or, you know, say you have a document library and you want to show it on the screen, you can do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of, so Lightswitch provides more of the data source is the SharePoint.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's the thing, like, Lightswitch is all about screens
mm-hmm.
and data.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, right? So what's the data? Data could be SQL Azure, data could be SQL Server, data can be anything with an entity framework provider. I think
right.
even there's a QuickBooks provider. I mean, so there's
QuickBooks provider?
Yes, there is. So there's a lot of, like, partners building, you know, entity framework providers. If you, you know, install one, then Lightswitch is totally, you know, awesome because it can suck that in as a data source, right?
Mm-hmm.
So any entity framework. Then SharePoint, we provide that as a data source. And then, like I mentioned, if you, you know, really don't have, you know, or SQL Azure, like, if you cannot, you know, find, you know, something provider that someone's written, then you can go ahead and write your own RIA service. So say you already have, like, an enterprise, you know, services, or you already have, like, a data access layer that, you know, your company is using, you would just, you know, wrap a RIA service
mm-hmm.
around the parts that you want to expose to Lightswitch, and then Lightswitch could consume it. So, you know, it's kind of, and then the other side of the coin is the UI, right? People don't like the shell. They don't want all their applications to look the same. We have, you know, there's an extensibility model where you can write an extension like a full shell themes. Lightswitch has this concept of business types that are like higher level than just string. We have, you know, email address and phone number, and when you make a field, you know, on your entity that type, then a lot of stuff comes with it, all the validation, the editors on the screen change without you doing anything. So that's another extensibility point for folks to create their own business types, like, I don't know, like Social Security number would be a good one, I think.
Right.
So, you know, so there's going to be, and there's the Extension Manager, which was introduced in Visual Studio 2010, right, where you can download extensions for Visual Studio off of VS Gallery. That's in Lightswitch, and so you could just download extensions that are specific for Lightswitch, so we're building a whole ecosystem. We have a lot of partners, there's control vendors, those sort of things that are going to be writing extensions for Lightswitch so that you can make your application look unique.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you're a Silverlight guy or girl,
right.
and, you know, you're great with Expression Blend. I mean, I'm not, but, you know, if you are, you can actually author your own controls. If it's just, you know, you just need something on the screen that's different than we provide out of the box, you can author a Silverlight control and basically, you know, stick it right on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of different places that you can extend light switch. We didn't want to make it like a closed box, you know, like I said, and I can never think of everything in version one. And if there's a version one product, I mean, I'd love people to go to msdn.com/lightswitch, and, you know, you can download the beta, you can download training kits.
Mm-hmm.
I have a set of how do I videos on how to, you know, actually build an application with it.
How to dive in. And
there's forums. You know, we have really active forums. It's just been so exciting. People have been really, really taking to this product, and I think it's just because it fills a niche that just people have been waiting for.
That people have been looking for,
yeah.
To, you know, for the last 10 years, 20 years, where it started out simple, but then it got complicated, and now it's getting easier again.
Yeah, at least we hope to make it any that way.
There's some other questions in the queue here.
Okay.
Just kind of, you know, to bring them up. I've got Aaron, and I don't know where Aaron is from, but he's got a question with errors on entities where you've got more than 100 fields. Are there limits on the quantity of fields?
I'm not aware of what the limits are. I mean, we're still working out performance issues. This is beta 1 right now. So if he is finding errors with the beta 1, please submit those to Connect, and we will definitely get those into our bug databases and get those straightened out.
And then the other question is, on, you know, when is an Oracle connection going to be available publicly for doing this?
So, it's, like I said, if you have an entity framework provider for Oracle, mm-hmm. you just install the entity framework provider for Oracle.
And that'll just then work
mm-hmm.
to it.
And then, exactly. And then when you select database as the external data source, and then you will select, you know, you'll switch your, you know, when you say what type of database that you select, and you'll see Oracle listed there. Once you have to install the provider for it, though.
All right. Well, let's see. We've got time for questions. If you have a question, make sure you let us know. But outside of that, I've got a question for you, and this
sure.
has to do with the SharePoint integration and tying into you know, consuming the SharePoint data. The authentication and the security on the lists and the data that's inside of SharePoint, that when I'm, you know, log in that way,
yeah.
does that flow through to the Silverlight and the LightSwitch clients that you're building?
Yeah, so when you add SharePoint as the data source, it asks you how do you want to connect to this.
Mm-hmm.
So it asks you for the credential right there when you're going in LightSwitch. You're saying Windows authentication, or is it some other kind of authentication? And so, you know, default is Windows. You select mm-hmm. whatever, click through, and then, yes, it passes your Windows credential. And actually, there's, you know, LightSwitch has a pretty good it uses Windows or Forms authentication just like ASP.NET, the
right.
ASP.NET security, you know. So it's actually creating those, you know, tables inside of the when you create a new database in LightSwitch, it's putting all of those ASP.NET membership stuff
mm-hmm.
right into the database. And that's what it uses. It uses that membership provider. So with SharePoint, it's just passing, you know, whatever, you know, credential you say. It's usually your Windows credential. But, like, for, you know, when you deploy your application, you can decide how users want to access it. So, like, you can deployment actually the is deferred until the very end. You build your application, and then you decide how you want to deploy it. You can deploy it as a two-tier application, but if you deploy it as a three-tier application, you decide on how you want people to access it, via Forms authentication, meaning that a little login form comes up,
right.
or via Windows authentication. And then you can create permissions inside of LightSwitch and check those in code.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you deploy the application, you know, you're basically entering users and roles into
mm-hmm.
the database, and so then you can decide on exactly how, you know, the security works in your application. It's the security was like, or permissions, you know, to access control really was what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is baked right into the app, and so you could even do that, you know, like say you have some SharePoint screens,
right.
you know, you can control the screen access, and you can also control the entity access, like whether or not somebody can insert, update, delete, view. Those sorts of things. So it gets pretty fine-grained, and you can basically put anything, security or control, access control checks around anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool. I actually just finished a couple videos that I have to get up on the Dev Center around security and deployment. So people have been really asking a lot about that.
Right. Well, the membership provider and the whole provider model, I mean, if you've got a custom database that already exists with users, you can create a custom membership provider and then just plug it into the framework, and it's just going to continue to work.
Yeah, you can. I mean, I don't know the details on that one, but, you know, I recall some forum posts around that, and a couple of our developers have
mm-hmm.
shown how to do it. So if anybody's interested in that sort of stuff, we can get it on the list of blog posts to write.
Right, with get it out there and say, hey, yeah. What are the, you know, when you go out, and this is one of the things about Visual Studio and just kind of in general, when you implement a class and you say, okay, give me all the methods, it gives you all of the different pieces that you may or may not want to implement, but it basically defines out what that interface is. So instead of going out and having to copy the code from, you know, some online help, it'll just give that to you.
Okay.
But playing around with the different things for that, I mean, that's where you get into the developer side of Lightswitch, where the Lightswitch is going to give you kind of the abstraction away from the details, and then you can open that project up as in other things as well, right?
Well, okay, so this is how it works. When you get Visual Studio Lightswitch Beta 1, if you just install it on a clean machine, all you get is File, New Project, Lightswitch. It's the only template you see, and the only choice you make is what language. Okay, if you have Visual
What's
Studio...
What's the right language?
What's VB or C#? Okay. So if you install it into Visual Studio Pro or Ultimate, it just becomes another template.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you then can create, and this is a scenario if you're like creating controls and RIA services and that sort of stuff, you're going to need Pro, right? Because you can't do that in just the Lightswitch SKU.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but if you have those higher SKUs and you load Lightswitch, then it just becomes a template. Okay. So your project is Lightswitch and you have other projects in your solution. Okay, so yes, you can open it up in higher versions because you have to have Lightswitch installed in those versions, though.
Right.
Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so
then it recognizes the project type and knows how to translate it into the assets that make up that kind of project.
So yeah, so the project type is a Lightswitch project type. Okay, that's what it is, and it always is. Okay, so and you extend it, you know, with other, you know, like I say, controls and services and that sort of thing. There's code. You do write code. You know, you write business rules, really. And the code, what's nice about it is, you know, just like a three-tier architecture, right? You know, when you're creating that yourself, what do you write? When do you write the? Where do you execute the rules? Client and middle tier, right? So Lightswitch provides like that right out of the box. You write it in one place, and it knows to run them on, you know, both the client and the server. And so when you look at the file structure of like a Lightswitch project, you'll see a common project, and the common is like all the rules that should run on both client and server. So the architecture is a, you know, solid, you know, patterns and good practices. You know, it's a model-driven architecture. It's MVVM on the UI. So you're always writing against your view model. You're never, you know, you can. That's why you can like load an extension to switch the whole application shell to look at, like, totally different, because it's just the views that are changing, and you're not writing code in the views. You're writing code in your view model.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's really an interesting thing to get into. You know, I would really encourage people to download the beta and give us feedback, because we're really, really anxious to release it ourselves.
Very cool platform. There's another question in here, and this is from Otman, and he says, you know, this is great to hear you standing up for the VB guys the whole time, and but his question has to do with access. When is access going to be supported in Lightswitch?
So you mean like access as a data source?
I'm assuming.
Okay. So yeah, I mean I'm not exactly sure, but I know that one of our lead developers is working on a sample that shows how to basically consume any ODBC data source.
Right.
Or OLADB data source. I can't remember which one he's working on. But yeah, so like that would be it's the JET provider, right, that you need to use to connect to for access. I could be wrong, but I think it's the JET, right?
Yeah.
And so I think you basically, you know, I'm not positive what we're doing in the box or not in the box, but I definitely know that there's a way to access
mm-hmm.
data by writing a provider around it.
What do you think of this approach? If you were to take access and attach the data into SharePoint, because you can do that, and then it's a linked table,
then you
can run it off the SharePoint provider.
Does that expose through the OData service, though? I'm not sure. I've never tried that. When you put access services, are they coming through the OData feeds?
So when you use access and you go to upload the data to or link it to a SharePoint site, it actually copies the data, and then within the access application, use linked tables out to the access lists.
Okay, so they are
the
actual lists. If they're SharePoint lists, then you could do it that way too. You're right.
Right.
Yeah.
But the business data services, business connectivity
services,
BCS, whatever.
Right.
That,
yeah, you would have like an external table or external list, right?
The external lists aren't exposed in the OData endpoint, I don't think. You know?
I didn't think so, but
no.
I could be. I don't think so.
I've been playing around with it the last couple of weeks, and I haven't been able to get the external list, but anything that's internal,
okay,
it'll expose up through the OData endpoint. I suppose that's because it's assuming that SharePoint as a client can work with external data, but it's not really going to provide a hub to rehost.
Right. It's not going to expose your external data
right
through it. So, right. That
right
makes sense. Okay.
Well, we're almost running out of time here, but there is a question about when is Beta 2 going to be available?
I can't really comment, so it's going to be available.
Yeah. It's great out there. Get out there.
I'm sorry.
And more information will be coming.
Yes. I really encourage you guys to just get, if you haven't already, get the Beta 1, and please give us feedback through Connect in our forums and let us know what we're missing or what we have in bugs so we can get this thing shipped.
Mm-hmm. Now, your blog is out there. It's on BethMassey.com.
Yep.
You're available on Channel 9. You're doing all kinds of great stuff, and you've got a Twitter, which is at Beth Massey, right?
Right.
So people can find you. What's going on.
Yep, I've been the community manager for BizApps for a while, and so, yeah, I'm all over the Internet. Just search on my name.
And you're at the Code Camps, the biggest code camp in the world.
Absolutely.
Well, great. Well, Beth, any last takeaways you want to leave the audience with?
MSDN.com/lightswitch.
Go out, download it, get started today.
Yep.
Well, this was great. I appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to seeing what's going to happen and to start playing around with the light switch stuff.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll hopefully have you come back again. And
Sure.
So this is Mike Bankovich, and this has been MSDN Radio. Hope you enjoyed the day, and we will be talking to you next week. We've got Mark Brown coming on. We're going to be talking about some of the interops, some of the stuff we're doing around how you can use the .NET technologies to go out and have some fun with that. So until next time, we'll be talking to you.
So that's it for this Monday. Go to msdnradio.com and click the registration link if you want to participate in the next show. Until then, happy coding.